What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 249 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We are very excited to be coming to you the week of the Witch Queen release, and man, it has been a huge week. We took last week off because I did actually have to go get married, so also a kind of big deal, not for the Destiny community as a whole, but a pretty big deal for me personally. And then right after that, Tuesday morning, Witch Queen dropped, and I have spent an unhealthy amount of time playing it since it has come out, much to the chagrin of my new wife. But bless her heart, she loves me enough to stick with me, despite the fact that we got married and I basically said, all right, baby, time to play Destiny. And that's what I've been doing. So we are going to talk all about our first impressions of the Witch Queen. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got weapon crafting. We got the legendary campaign. We got and crazy story beats. We just got a ton of stuff. Void 3.0, how it's playing out. New weapons, so much to talk about. I guess we should just probably go ahead and hop into it, get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am doing pretty darn well. It has been a great week of Destiny for me, and I feel like I have a lot left to explore in Witch Queen. I feel like I've barely begun to scratch the surface so far, and I am loving it. So yeah, I'm very excited to start diving in as we move forward. How about you?
Yeah, I'm really been enjoying myself as well. Even, you know, I think we said in the episode before we took a break that we had really high hopes for the legendary story, and it has surpassed everything that I thought it was going to be. It is. I'm really glad that I played a bunch of the Halo campaigns on legendary prior to coming into this, because I feel like that set a pretty high bar for me because of how much fun I was having playing Halo 3, Halo 2, Halo ODST. I was like really, really enjoying myself. And I was like, man, these are good. And I came into Witch Queen just hoping that we were going to get close to that. And to be totally honest, like I'm actually having as much fun, which is that's a very, very high bar to get over or to, you know, to reach. And it was actually, I was planning to like play them by myself, but I actually managed to convince, I'm recruiting people. I got two more people to join with Witch Queen, to actually buy Witch Queen. And so there are two new lights. They were able to play because they started right at 1350, so they didn't have to do any grinding. And I'm actually running the legendary campaign with them. And so it's been a little bit more of a challenge than I think it would have been had I done it solo. And in some ways it's good to have teammates, but in some ways it's less good to have teammates because everything seems to have way more health and there seems to be a lot more enemies. But we're taking it slow. We're doing about a couple missions a night. I hope to have it wrapped up by the end of this weekend, but I cannot describe how much fun I'm having playing this game right now.
Yeah, it really is a blast. I am also playing the legendary campaign. I am playing it solo. So I gather things are slightly less spongy when it comes to soaking up damage. The downside for me has been that if I make a mistake in the boss fight, I have to start over. And if I make two mistakes and I get tilted, I have to start over like three or four more times until I calm down and execute. So it's occasionally been highly challenging. But the thing I love about it is that I am learning the missions, and I'm learning when the enemies spawn, which enemies spawn where, you know, what's the angle to hit them at, you know, where do I go for this part of the fight? Where's my safe spot? Is there a safe spot, or is the safe spot running in circles around the room, which it seems to be actually a lot. They've done a good job of not making it too easy in most of the boss fights to just like hang out somewhere safe. I'm definitely having to rotate. So we're not going to talk any spoilers this week, just general impressions. So I guess the spoiler here is that there are boss fights in the campaign. Hopefully you were not thrown off by me saying that. But that's about the most depth that I want to share today, because I am really enjoying the story beats as they come out. And I hope that everyone listening is as well.
It's really impressive how well a lot of these boss fights are designed and how well a lot of the levels are designed. You don't get to see how much work the designers put into it when you melt the boss in 4.5 seconds. But when you actually spend a good bit of time trying to figure out how to survive, it's incredible how much depth there is of variants of attacks, different behaviors, different phases. Like, you found different places around the room. Some are safe, some are not. It's really, really, really interesting. It gives me the feeling that, like, I'm learning something, right? Like, the first time we go in, we don't necessarily expect to beat it. We try to figure out whatever light mechanics there are. We try to figure out what our strategy is. And, like, every time we wipe, we improve a little bit. Now, you were saying you were wiping 3 to 4 times. With the 2 new lights, we have wiped significantly more than that on some of these boss encounters. The one Scorn boss in particular was, I'm sure everybody knows which one we're talking about, but we actually couldn't beat it the first night. I swear we had to have done it like 30 times and could not beat it.
Maybe it is easier solo.
Yeah. And finally we came back to it. Thank God for checkpoints on these story missions is the big thing. Like, thank goodness there are checkpoints.
We'll have to compare notes later. I believe I know which one you're talking about. And I believe, I think it took me 8 tries.
Circular solo. Room, 3 different shielded captains.
That's enough. I don't want to go overboard here, but yes.
Yeah. Regardless, so much fun. Love learning about it. Love figuring this stuff out. Really looking forward to hearing more of the story beats as we're progressing. This is the most I've ever been invested in Destiny's story in game. I mean, last year they did a really good job of pushing the narrative forward, but I feel like this is on a whole different level for what they've accomplished.
There are definitely, there are definitely a lot of questions that I am asking as far as, like, okay, what is happening in the story right now? Why are these enemies where they are? Why are they doing what they're doing? What is actually going on? And I'm really excited to get some answers. I think I'm finally at a point in the story where I'm starting to get some answers, and it's actually asking more questions, which is great. I'm really digging it. And then I know after we get the story campaign, then we've got all kinds of other missions left. Stuff I'm just ignoring right now.
A ton of stuff. And you want to know, speaking of other missions, we tried to do Vox Obscura or whatever it was. Like, it's one of the exotic missions, right? And my buddy and I weren't really paying attention, and we were just like trying to kill time, and we loaded into it and we like got obliterated. Number one, it's in the Barrens on Mars, right? Like the D1, first place we meet the Cabal. We're running it and we're just like getting dominated. We're like, man, what light level is this at? It was 1550. We were at like 1470. And we were like, oh man, this is really hard. Maybe we'll just push through it. And I can tell you that I thought for a fact I was not going to appreciate the Hake, that origin trait.
Oh,
the one that does bonus damage to vehicles.
Oh, it's good.
Until we ran into a Cabal tank. And then I can tell you for a fact that I have never switched to a Hake rocket launcher so fast and had it be so effective. I got to say that if they're going to keep throwing vehicles and stuff into these missions, I'm actually really appreciative of that origin perk, which I thought for sure I was not going to use.
Yeah, no, I think it's very handy in this expansion. So much so, we're going to talk about weapon crafting in this episode. I actually went and crafted a custom Hake rocket launcher because I was like, okay, I need a heavy weapon that I can just like, I'm just going to upgrade it. I need to put some damage into this stuff more effectively. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. We should get some housekeeping done.
I was going to say, we're 10 minutes in and we haven't even started the housekeeping and turning things on its head. People who skip to 10 minutes are going to land right smack dab in the middle of the housekeeping at this point.
Well, we're going to be, I think, fairly efficient here because we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. But let's get right into it with some thank yous as we approach that 10-minute mark. So big shout out, welcome, and thank you to our 4 new patrons since the last episode. Thank you to Josh. Thank you to Clancy5000. Thank you to Rube Garlic. And thank you to Slaggy.
I feel like I've seen all of them in Discord already.
I think so. Yeah. I think we've had a bunch of people jump in and be super active. Rube Garlic has been all over the place. I think there was some kind of food-related discussion going on. Anyways, it's good. It's been a good time. The Patrons Lounge is hopping. Speaking of the Patrons Lounge, let's throw some shout outs to our sponsor, Guardians. These Guardians are patrons, but they give on a whole other level in terms of generosity to support the podcast, to buy us fancy gear, to help us do things like launch new podcasts, like the PvE show, Podcast Versus Enemies, which has been just killing it, doing fantastic. Beneath Twin Suns, which is also doing pretty well in a very challenging environment. There are a lot of Star Wars podcasts, but I think we're holding our own. So thank you, without further ado, to Binary Wolf, The Shazzle, Zen SoCal, Askian Monk, Conquer King 420, Deacon, This Moment 23, A Solitary Bird, Starscream S13, and Black Hammer Tech. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate all of our ongoing patrons who give generously every single month to support the podcast. We appreciate you, the listener, who tunes in to these episodes and makes this more than just a couple of nerds geeking out over Destiny. We also appreciate another group of Guardians, and I'm going to pass the mic through the internet back to you, Mercules.
Yeah, we really appreciate the people who leave us podcast reviews on Apple Podcast or ratings on Spotify, although we can't track those people individually. But podcast reviews, after doing a ton of research for the Beneath Twin Suns show, it turns out that podcast reviews are actually one of the most helpful things that you can do for a podcast in terms of getting their search relevance up, I guess I should say, search optimization up. So first off, we're going to start with a podcast review coming all the way from Australia. It is boring. 5 stars. This is actually one of the worst podcasts I've ever listened to. It's mind-numbing and boring. There's no way people actually listen to this seriously. There's all these numbers and science, which is heresy to me, so I only use it to punish my children when they've been bad. Overall, 10 out of 10, IGN would recommend. That's from Manic Derek. Thank you very much, Manic Derek. Sending some of that Australian humor all the way around the world. And then the other podcast review, Good Take Since 2016. 5 stars. If you like weapon breakdowns, meta reviews, and thoughtful takes, then this podcast rocks. Also join the Discord like all the cool kids do. See you there, Dirt Disc. And that is from Dirt Disc. So thank you guys very much for the reviews. Remember, if you would like to leave us a review, we will read it out. If you are international, you may have to send us a message letting us know that you did it, because our aggregator can be a little bit slow to pick them up, but we'll try to get to them as quickly as we can. We also accept reviews on Twitter or really wherever you want to leave us a review, but you'll definitely have to tell us if you left us a review there, because there's very little chance that I'll be able to find it on my own.
Yeah. Okay. So before we can close out the housekeeping for this episode, we do have a couple of items worth mentioning. First off, there is patron merch in the works. If you've not yet received yours, we are expecting to have a shipment going out, in the first week of March here. I'm actually talking to Patreon support about that this week, and so we'll have confirmation on that pretty soon here, and just make sure that it gets out to everybody who deserves it. We appreciate your support, and we've got some awesome stuff, so stay tuned and keep your eyes on the mailbox. That's going to be coming your way very soon. Okay, speaking of sweet, sweet loot, we did a giveaway this past week. We didn't have an episode, and we felt like, you know, with Witch Queen launching and Mercury's getting married, it was time for us to share a gift with the community. And we just happened to have a beautiful hand-painted original from Irresolute of Le Monarch. And we've shared a picture of that on Twitter, and somebody is going to be hanging that on their wall or possibly burning it in the very near future. It's hard to say which, but drum roll. I don't think the mic picked that up because it's just too good at filtering out background noise. But nonetheless, congratulations to entrant number 1,622 of a total of 2,813 entries. Our winner is you, Brandon the Bard. We'll be reaching out to you very soon to arrange shipment. Thank you so much for entering our contest. Thank you to everyone who entered, who tweeted us, who supported the show. It was really awesome to see the response from the community and the interest around the world, honestly. We had people all over the place entering this contest, sharing tweets, hitting us up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and just all kinds of places. So it was fantastic to see the response. I want to thank everybody for their entry, and we'll definitely be doing another one of these in the future. So stay tuned, and perhaps next time you'll be the lucky winner.
It's actually really cool. I recognize Brandon's name from Discord, so I know that he's an active community member. It's always nice to see somebody like that be rewarded. It's an awesome, awesome picture, and it could not have been more topical, because not only did Le Monarch get a catalyst right now, but also I think once the raid ends up happening, there's going to be a couple of fragments that potentially interact very, very wonderfully with Le Monarch that could possibly make it quite a scourge in PvP and PvE. So we're going to see how Volatile Rounds works with Le Monarch, but really happy for Brandon, and sad to see the Le Monarch picture leave my office. I very much enjoyed having it here, but I do have the Bastion original. So that's the one that I'm going to be keeping for myself.
Yeah, well, this is a unique trifecta of images. Nothing like it anywhere in the world. And the third, of course, is the last word, which is currently leaning against my wall and looking very pretty. And at some point, it will be hanging on the wall and looking even better.
All right, cool. Well, I believe that is all the housekeeping, so I will put a timestamp right about here for those of you guys who want to skip the housekeeping, and we can just dive right into Witch Queen discussion. So a lot of stuff to talk about. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't just give our overall first impression of holistically everything that we've done. I feel like you said earlier, barely scratched the surface of what there is to offer. But after the first half a week or so of playing, Is it cool to say way too early that this is the best expansion Destiny's ever done? Because I don't feel like it's an exaggeration to say, like, if the Taken King is up there and Forsaken is up there, I really do feel like this blows both of those out of the water.
So it's early, so it's definitely a hot take, right? The hype is high right now. The hype is strong with us, but for me, right now, just comparing what we're getting here, having the legendary story campaign really puts Witch Queen on a whole different level. You know, I haven't played the raid. I haven't done a lot of the other stuff that's available. I've done some public events in the Throne World, which are actually super cool. And remind me of some game modes from some other games that I'm very pleased to see. I haven't figured out the heroic yet. I think I kind of might have an idea how it works, but I can never get the blueberries to cooperate. So one day, perhaps next week. Anyways, there's a lot to like here, and I would say my hot take is Legendary Campaign makes it the best expansion that Destiny has ever done.
I gotta say, the Legendary Campaign, I cannot overstate how important it is for my enjoyment right now. I'm having the type of fun in Destiny's PvE that I have had so rarely before, almost always reserved for doing raids or dungeons. What I compared it to on Twitter was the first time I ran Presage, or however it's pronounced, Presage or whatever it is, right? The first time I ran that activity, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced in Destiny before, particularly solo. Every story mission I've done so far has felt like running that one mission. And to me, that is a huge, huge, huge achievement for them to have done. The fact that I is 3 days in post-release and I'm still not done with the story is crazy. I never thought that would be possible. Usually the story is what I do in like the first hour. The fact that we have played all these missions and there has been no filler. It has been mission, 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 mission. And that filler is still there, but it is separated and it's out in its own little side quest that you can do at your leisure. But you can just go from story mission to story mission. That is such a breath of fresh air for the Destiny campaign experience. And it has made it so easy for me to convince these new players to come in and be like, hey, man, you remember when you used to play Halo 3? Like, how much did you enjoy running that campaign? This is just like that, maybe even a little bit better. And a couple of friends who are like, oh, yeah, I don't know, Destiny's not really my cup of tea, come in, they play it, they're enjoying themselves, right? Like, that's the hook they needed for new players. Not to mention, like, the new player experience just because of this campaign is now so much better. Because what happens is, so like a new player right now, they still have to do the stupid like Shawhan quest, which is kind of unfortunate, right? But like pretty quickly after they're done with that, they can just jump right into this. And this is a much, much better introduction to Destiny than whatever it was that they were trying to do before, where it was like a mixed bag of seven different campaigns, some of which were good, some of which weren't, none of which were really in order. Some weird seasonal content thrown in. Like this feels like a great starting point for players. The experience still isn't perfect. Like PvP in particular is having some weird issues. Like I was trying to get one of my buddies, one of the new lights, I was getting him into play PvP. And so I got to experience a little bit of that firsthand too, with how Void 3.0 is meshing with it. But man, I'm so happy to finally have some PvE content that I feel like I really want to engage with. Makes me almost want to talk to the PvE podcast host and be like, you know, what should I be rocking? Because Reddit is telling me that I'm handicapping myself using a Void Hunter, but I'm really enjoying using the Void Hunter.
I think Void Hunter is a ton of fun in PvE. I'm excited to come back and play this with my Warlock, but everyone knows we're Hunter mains here on Massive Breakdowns. If we didn't talk about it enough, I think we both posted some snips from our year in review, and it was like 80% Hunter or some ridiculous number. We were obviously going to do this on Hunter first, and Void Hunter is a lot of fun.
I'm simultaneously pleased and disappointed with Void Hunter, but probably not for the reasons a lot of other people are. Deadfall freaking sucks in PvP still. Like it's not good, unfortunately. I saw this in the patch notes and I thought I must have been seeing things, so I didn't believe it. But if you direct hit someone with Deadfall, it does not kill them in PvP anymore. It does about 150 damage, which is crazy to me. The activation time itself on like the actual tether activation is still ridiculously slow. It's super easy for people to get out of range of it before it nabs them. Like the pull is nice, the damage share is down, so it's harder to kill people when they're shared. I mean, honestly, like I was really, really stoked on the changes. I was like, Deadfall is finally going to be good. It's finally going to be a strong super in PvE. Yeah, you know, it's fine enough as it is, but in PvP, I'm just really, really disappointed that Deadfall didn't get to be a little bit better.
You know, ultimately, the thing that makes it all okay in my mind here is that I can run Invis Dodge and Spectral Blades at the same time, at long last. And I think there's something like that for every class right now, where you can finally combine the things that you always wanted to combine, the best parts of the class in your mind, and just go with it. And that really is what is making the Light 3.0 adaptation so much fun to have.
So you're using Invis Dodge and Spectral Blades. Are you also using the Invis Smoke, or are you using Stylish Executioner?
So I only briefly stepped into PvP just to see how glaives were, and then I realized I was in PC lobbies and I was just like, I got just destroyed. So anyway, I haven't done a lot of PvP yet. Too much time is needed to get through these repeated wipes and the story missions. So I'm currently running Vanishing Step and Stylish Executioner.
Mm-hmm. What I found to be effective as well.
Yeah, it's a great, great combo. I'm actually right now also running the Echo of Undermining, the Void Grenades weaken targets. Right. I'm just weakening people endlessly. And, you know, I threw on like the Echo of Remnitz to make the grenades last longer. Like, yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun.
Yeah, I've kind of found myself in the same boat as well. I'm really liking the ability to weaken targets with grenades and then kill them and get Stylish Executioner. I like that actually in PvP a lot too. I have played a good bit of PvP. I promised my buddies that we wouldn't run the story missions without them. So we're kind of waiting for a time where all three of us are on so that we can play. So when they're not on, I've been playing a good bit of PvP. I really want to try out the high impact fusion rifle changes, the damage changes.
Yeah.
I am happy to report it has made them better for sure. The charge rate is still really, really long. I picked up a clip the other day where I had two perfect pre-charges, like where I literally started charging and fired the bolts as someone walked around the corner. And like they just, on their screen, they probably never saw it happen, right? Like they probably literally just stepped around the corner and evaporated. And I was so pleased with that. But I've also had two different clips where a Cartesian coordinate user has fired two bursts at me before I finished charging my one. And that's not particularly fun. But the damage boost has made the high impact pulse rifles feel a million times more consistent than they did before. It really was needing four bolts to kill targets was just handicapping them so bad. So the fact that you only need three now, especially with something like high impact reserves, you can pretty much get three bolts on everyone. Really, really great change. Probably not enough to make a meta, but at least I'm having a little bit more fun with mine.
So I'm really curious to see how successful warm up, one of the new perks, works with those high impact fusions. That perk increases the charge speed after each final blow with a weapon. It can also drop on bows where it increases the draw speed. And I'm wondering if it just increases that charge speed and has no effect on damage and impact. Because if it does, then that could be a pretty decent option to have. Especially if you happen to find yourself in a 2v1. You get that first pre-charge off. But yeah, then a full second is far too long to wait for the second.
Absolutely. So since we're kind of already on the subject of it right now, how are you feeling about Void 3.0 overall? I've got to say, like, the actual system, them taking what they did with Stasis and bringing it to Void, the customization feels incredible. I love it. I love it a ton. I set up my Hunter. I had a couple different builds that I was running that I was trying. I've got a couple more that I want to run later. I look forward to them adding new aspects and new fragments and stuff like that. I helped one of the new light buddies set up his Warlock. So I'm actually relatively familiar with the Warlock right now because I just had that set up. Started him out with Vortex Nova Bomb. Didn't really end up liking that too much. Ended up swapping over to Slova Bomb. Think that was a pretty good call. Using... was a child of the old gods. Really fun, enjoying that. I really like these Void changes. I think in PvE in particular, this is like a game changer in terms of how much you can do. I know that and people are saying that in in-game hunters are probably going to be weak and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And maybe the PvE guys will talk about that. You know, I'm saying in the legendary campaign, you know, I might be handicapping myself a little bit, but I'm having fun. I'm finding the survivability of the hunter to be very, very high. Very, very high. Could basically be constantly invis. PvP, on the other hand, obviously there's a lot of Void right now. It's early in the season.
Yeah.
People are trying out the stuff. I think the Void subclasses right now, along with Stasis, are just like wholeheartedly, not necessarily entirely more effective, but the experience of playing them is just like so much better because of how you can do these builds. That for me, it's going to be very hard for me to run Solar Arc until they get their 3.0 reworks. There is a lot of those Void verbs. There's a lot of that in PvP right now.
Yeah, I believe it. Like I said, I was only in for a couple of rounds before I decided that I just couldn't effectively test the glaive on PC. I'm not that good, apparently. But I still saw a couple of Solar Titans running around dropping sunspots. But otherwise, it did seem to be pretty heavily in the Void, and that's sort of what we expect at this point.
I've got to think that Invis, they talked about on the Void 3.0 podcast with DCP that we were on a couple weeks ago, but I got to think that Invis might need to get a tuning pass, even if it's just like the duration of the Invis, because with Invis Dodge, Invis Smoke, Invis Fragment that lengthens it, Graviton Forfeit, I believe you can be invisible for literally 20 seconds straight. And by the time you're done, like your abilities will have recharged and you can go invisible again. Now, granted, of course, you know, invis breaks when you shoot or anything like that. So it's not like you can be invis fighting people. But there were a number of times where even I was using invis and I was like, this is giving me a lot of freedom to move around the map, kind of unfettered. And I was coming up beside people that weren't even looking in my direction. And I could do that a little bit with Invis Hunter before, but the window of time was so much smaller that you were Invis for that it wasn't easy to do. The timing had to be pretty spot on because otherwise you would pop out of Invis at like the worst possible position and basically get obliterated. I feel like it's a lot more forgiving now. And also, because so many different classes can get invis now, I had the wonderful experience of a two-man that was a Void Warlock and a Void Hunter, and the Void Hunter was making the Void Warlock invisible, and then the Void Warlock was floating up in the air, invisible, and like floating around. And I got killed by them sometimes where I was like, what the hell was that? Like, how did that even happen? So I know that technically that was possible before, but I don't feel like it was quite as effective as it is now. And so I am wondering if things are going to taper off as the season progresses, if people are going to get used to it. What I was actually thinking, I actually went back in my vault and I was like, where the fuck are all my Hawkeye weapons that highlight targets, right? Like, where are all my Hawkeye weapons that have those scopes that highlight the targets? Because I was like, I'm about to just start using pure Hawkeye weapons from here on out. I'm about to use Hawkeye weapons, Foe Tracer, like, isn't Eye of Another World for Warlocks, mm-hmm. highlights invisible.
It does, hunter, yeah.
Highlights invisible people.
Invisible so hunters, like, specifically.
Yeah. Only hunters. Everybody else is fine to be invisible. There's a lot of overshields on Titans. Now, granted, they're not super strong overshields. They're only 40 points. Devour, obviously, it's like kind of hard to see Devour like actually be, you know, active, but I assume that Warlocks probably have a lot of that up as well. I'm not opposed to it. Like, it's pretty fun, but I do think it might be just the teeniest bit much, especially if we have to wait like 6 months for a Solar 3.0.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm curious to see how things pan out post raid drop when the rest of the fragments, hopefully the rest of the fragments get unlocked. I don't think there's anything that's going to still be locked after that.
We can do is we can, I think we're going to try to record an episode early next week before I leave for my honeymoon, because then we're going to obviously be on a 2 week break. So what we can probably do is, you know, maybe we finish up the Legendary Story mission this weekend. We play a good bit of PvP at the tail end of the weekend. And maybe we revisit that after a few more days because it is early.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's using the hot new stuff right now. Things might change, even substantially change in the next week as people start to figure out the meta. I personally am interested to see what I can do with it, see what I can do to counter it. But yeah, just my first impressions. I think overall, Void 3.0 is a huge win. I think it's everything that it was hyped up to be, at least in my opinion. Other stuff, I feel like, should we do like the compliment sandwich thing? Do you have anything that's like stuck out to you as like a negative so far that you've like, that's, I mean, I feel like if we want to list the positive things about Witch Queen, we could just literally go on forever with amazing stuff about it. So I feel like to provide some type of balance input, is there anything about Witch Queen that you like haven't liked so far?
That is a fair question. I'm thinking hard here.
Must be a good expansion if it's this hard to think of something that, like, you actively don't like.
Yeah, it's... It's tough to come up with something off the top of my head right now that I can't say that I've run into anything that I just really don't like. I'll be nitpicky and say I would like to see a wider variety of weapons available for crafting, but I feel like that's not really an ask that's super fair at this point. You know, but I don't, it's not my job to be fair, right? It's my job to say what I want to see more of in the game. And it's more weapons for me to craft.
That was actually going to be my criticism of it, is that I'm like looking at the list of weapons that are craftable, and I feel like there are a lot of weaker archetypes represented in that, which is fine because those archetypes at any point in time could become powerful and good, and then we'll be very happy. But like the fact that there's not a hand cannon, the fact that there's not a high impact pulse rifle, right? Like the fact that there's not, I mean, there is a shotgun. It's actually a very good shotgun, right? But I felt like there was some stuff that was kind of maybe some missed opportunities. Like, I'm excited about some stuff, don't get me wrong. I want the Hawkeye rocket launcher, like the one you crafted for yourself. I'm really excited about the kinetic rapid fire pulse rifle. You know, there's a good rapid fire fusion rifle in there that can be crafted. But, you know, we've also got an adaptive pulse rifle, and it's like, man, adaptive pulse rifles haven't seen the light of day in PvP in a long time, or in PvE. And it's like, to me, I could craft it, but like, why am I going to spend so much time leveling up an adaptive pulse rifle? You know, like I feel like for crafting's debut, it would have been really awesome if it had just been like chock full of maybe not the best weapons available, because like that would make everything else obsolete, but the best archetypes, and then like a pretty good example of the best archetype. You know, because those enhanced traits are pretty neat. You and I were talking about those earlier.
Yeah.
And I hadn't quite dove into the depths of what the enhanced traits can do. But just the idea of me being able to, like, imagine if there was, like, a version of Messenger in there that I could get the exact same role I have right now, but enhanced. Even if it had worse-based stats, I'd be all over that thing in a heartbeat.
Enhance. Yeah. No, they're good. They're good. To be honest, part of me wonders if the reason that we don't have what you might consider to be like PvP meta archetypes by and large is because this is their first pass at weapon crafting, and they don't want to do something that they might have to take away from us or tune down and then make people unhappy. They want it to come out and be like, okay, the system is great. The weapon selection could be better. And then like, okay, well, we can add new weapons. And then they're giving us something rather than taking something away. So it's sort of about framing in my mind. And I don't know if that's true or not. I've not had any insight granted to me. But I can certainly see where that might be a good plan. You come out, you do your best to make a great system, and you give people some weapons to kind of give them an idea of how the system's going to work. Some stuff that's useful, but not necessarily going to, you know, completely rock the PvP meta. You know, and they can always add better weapons. So,
I did think, like, what would happen if they had put a 140 hand cannon in there?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That had all the best perks available on it, right? And had enhanced versions of those traits. And I thought, man, like there would be some people who'd be out there grinding that hand cannon into the dust to get everything enhanced on it. And then they would like never touch another weapon. And so I did think about that when I was thinking about like, oh, it kind of sucks that there's not a hand cannon in there. But, you know, I'm not saying that. Like, I understand the power creep principle, and I understand they're not wanting to give us all right off the bat. But it would have been nice to have like a 140 hand cannon in there, even if it like the perk options weren't the best, just for the fun of like, yeah, the perk options aren't the best, but like, this is my 140 hand cannon that I built, like that, because that's what I'm going to go with. That rapid fire pulse is going to be like, this is my rapid fire pulse that I built. And that's something I've been wanting in Destiny for a long time. I honestly didn't think that they would give us anything close to as customizable as this. Like, this is full on. It's, in my opinion, it's the right combination of grindy, because it is a little grindy, but I feel like it's grindy in the right way, right? Like, it's not, at least to me so far, it doesn't seem super, super painful.
So, okay. So actually that did bring to mind for me, there is a bit of a pain point in the crafting process. First off, I do wish that they had put in, either a precision or an aggressive hand cannon. I don't I'm actually kind of okay that they did not at this time put in an adaptive. I don't think that we need more of the most dominant weapon archetype in the game right at this moment. But if they had given us a different, you know, a different archetype of hand cannon, I think that would have been maybe the right first step. They gave us none. So one pain point that I have not yet run into myself, but that I can see looming and that I've heard a few people mention so far, is the caps on the weapon crafting elements are perhaps a bit lower than some people expected. And if you're not monitoring where you're at, you could end up grinding on a bunch of weapons to try and get some elements. And then you might end up just wasting all of that deep sight grinding that you did if you grab those elements without making sure that you're not at the cap. So something to be aware of. I don't know exactly what the caps are right now. I think the cap for neutral element is like 2,000 or something. So like not super high. Maybe that goes up. I don't know. But yeah, so I've already heard some people saying that they've run into the caps, and so that's a bit concerning to me. Right now it is it's a bit time consuming to collect the elements, but ultimately not super difficult. Do we want to dive into crafting? Are we ready for that?
Yeah, I think we should, because that was going to be my other complaint with it, is that like it's not bad once you've done it a couple times. Like it's pretty easy to understand once you've done it. It looks pretty opaque at first, but there is part that actually is quite difficult to understand just being in game. And this is something that I didn't even notice. There's actually a guide on Bungie.net and their help section that talks about it, but it was just all the different resonant materials, right?
Yeah.
So there's resonant elements, which just come neutrally from every one of those weapons that you dismantle. Everyone, not the not normal legendaries, but the actual like deep sight weapons themselves, right? So every one of those that you get with a red border, when you use it and level it up and pull the materials off of it, you will always get these neutral resonant elements, right? And then there's also five other types of elements, right? So there's ruinous elements, which are for damage or projectile modification related trait perks, right? That's like kill clip, rampage, stuff like that. There's adroit elements, which are weapons performance related trait perks, things like handling, stability. There's mutable elements, which are ability modification related trait perks. There's energetic elements, which are ammo or reload related trait perks. And then there are drowned elements, which are raid exclusive trait perks. So I initially in game had no idea what any of those different types of elements were.
Same.
And someone helpfully pointed out this article on Bungie.net. So again, ruinous elements, damage or projectile modification, adroit, weapon performance related stuff, that's handling stability. Mutable is ability modification, energetic is ammo or reload, and drowned is raid exclusive. So I found that to be pretty helpful, because then I immediately understood what it was that I was looking at when I was looking at those different deep sight weapons, and a lot of stuff kind of just like fell into place after that. So I think the process is a little dense, but once you've done it a handful of times, it started to come a lot more naturally. I myself have not run up against the cap, but I have heard multiple people on Twitter complaining about it. So I'd imagine that that's something that may need to be looked at.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I did actually find pretty helpful is that if there's something that you want to make but you're not sure what you need for it, you can just go into shape and pick any pattern that you want and go through, and you can see what the available perks cost. And so you can, you know, maybe you have to make a list on a notepad and write down, okay, I need mutable element and adroit element to make this gun. And then you when you are using the deep sight weapons, which are how you get these elements, You are going to want to make sure that you, because you're always going to get a couple of options from the deep sight weapons. So the way they work is you use the weapon until you've maxed out, you know, whatever amount of use that it requires from you. The 100%, you've just got it to 100%. You've gone and killed a bunch of enemies of the light or the darkness, a bunch of enemies. Then you hover over that and you get a choice of a couple of different resin elements. You're always going to get neutral elements. You need those for every single crafting that you do. You're always going to get a bunch of those every time from the deep sight weapon. And then it's going to give you a choice between two or three different types. So it sort of depends on what perks are on the gun. That's going to determine what types you have available, whether they're ruinous, adroit, mutable, energetic, drowned, obviously not yet available that I've seen. I'm thinking that we may only be able to get drowned elements from the raid. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen any sign of them out in the world yet. So, yeah, and I guess, you know, if you do start running into the caps, time to clear out some vault space and start throwing deep sight weapons in there until you need them. The bright side here is that if they do start adding in some higher quality craftable weapons, because the weapons can be reshaped, you truly don't need more than at most two copies of any given gun. You know, maybe you want to keep a PvE and a PvP so you don't have to reshape it every time. But a lot of guns you're only going to be using for either PvE or PvP. You really only need that one copy. And all you'll do is just periodically reshape it when you build up enough elements and level it up enough to unlock some new perks and upgrade it. And at some point, you'll be done upgrading it. It'll be the perfect weapon. And you'll never need another one, right? I mean, so I'm pretty happy with the system.
I saw someone joking that they were like, well, now I don't need to save multiple rolls of every weapon. I just need to save every deep sight weapon that I get instead, right? And so they're like, my vault is now filled with just deep sight weapons randomly that I'm storing for just in case I need them later.
Yeah.
And I'm only storing one copy of the weapons I actually care about, but hundreds of random deep sight weapons.
It's an interesting conundrum, the direction that they've gone in terms of how we get the resonant elements. I don't know if that part of the system is going to stick. That feels like something that they could change the way that we get those resonant elements down the road. We'll have to see.
Well, I think that's probably good enough to talk about crafting. I would like to talk about something that's kind of linked to crafting, but we got a ton of new perks. The enhanced perks on their own are very, very cool. I highly recommend going to light.gg and reading through the list of the enhanced perks. I really hadn't fully grasped what the differences were in game until I saw them laid out for me like they are on light.gg. But it took my excitement for enhanced perks from like, maybe, I don't really know, to like, holy crap, I have to get enhanced versions of like every perk that I like. And I have to shout out the weapons team at Bungie that probably had a heck of a time, because functionally, I think every one of the enhanced perks is like its own perk, like a new perk. I don't think it's a modifier applied to the existing. I think they literally had to go through every single perk and make the enhanced version of it.
Yeah.
Some of them have custom changes. Some of them give additional effects. A lot of them lengthen the effect or strengthen the effect they were already giving. But go take a look at your favorite perk and look at it. Like for enhanced kill clip, the damage buff is the same, but it lasts longer, right? Like that's huge. For someone who uses kill clip all the time, that's huge. There's a huge reason for me to use enhanced kill clip now. So go take a look at those, find your favorite perks, see how it's changed. I think it might be worth it for pretty much everyone to get enhanced perks if they can.
Yeah, I mentioned before, I went ahead and crafted myself a Palmyra B, a Hake rocket launcher, because I needed something very specific to help me get through these solo boss fights. And so I've got Confined Launch, high velocity rounds get pretty limited options in those slots when you're just starting out. But as you level the weapon up, you get better and better options available. Then Impulse Amplifier and Lasting Impression, and it's Hake, so it tracks. That's a Hake rocket launcher with a blast radius of 80. I'm pretty sure that blast radius is going to be more like 84, maybe higher when I'm done with it. Pretty good for a Hake rocket launcher. Most of them are down at like 70. So this is, that's the kind of stuff and that you can do. I'm very much looking forward to the enhanced versions of Impulse Amplifier and Lasting Impression, specifically Lasting Impression, because it increases the blast radius even more. And that's already a pretty big explosion. So, there's a lot to be very excited about.
Then in addition to that, we also got a ton of origin traits. We now know all the origin traits, at least the ones that we've seen in the game so far. Are there any that have stood out to you as being really... We already talked about Hake armaments being a lot more impressive than I thought it was going to be. So that one was deals increased damage against vehicles, turrets, barricades, stasis crystals. Could not have imagined a world in which I would care about that prior to running through some of these missions. And let me tell you, there is no shortage of vehicles, it appears, in these missions. So
yeah.
I actually found it to be really, really useful. Invader Tracker was one of the ones that we kind of knew based on the name, but we didn't know specifically what it does. It marks invaders that you damage for allies to see. We got another one from the seasonal weapons called Land Tank, which is a ton of fun. Final blows with the weapon grant increased resilience and also damage resistance from combatants. That's a super fun one. I don't know how much resistance it gives. I haven't had a chance to test it out yet. Very interested to see. I mean, even if it's only a couple hit points, that can make the difference between life and death in PvP. Omalon Fluid Dynamics, we already knew. One Quiet Moment, we already knew. Stunning Recovery, did we know that one? Because Stunning Recovery, if you stun a champion, it partially refills your magazine, triggers health regeneration, and improves recovery for a short duration.
I don't think we knew about that one. There are some pretty exciting perks here. So, for example, you mentioned Kill Clip earlier. I picked up a hand cannon with Skulking Wolf, which is an origin trait. So it says, during the hunt, final blows with this weapon grant enhanced radar and remove you from opposing radar. So I'm not entirely sure what during the hunt means yet.
Oh, that's for Iron Banner.
For Iron Banner. Oh.
That's Iron Banner's origin trait, is that one.
I don't know how I got that.
You probably turned in an Iron Banner bounty after the season had started.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, because a buddy in the clan got that and was talking about it. Cool. It's super niche, right? Like, that's only really, you know, effective for small periods of time each game. But removing you from radar without necessarily going invisible is very, very useful.
Yeah, it's niche, but it's like, that's a cool idea. I'm very excited to see that. Suro Synergy, I think, is going to be pretty decent. Reducing incoming flinch is always nice. There are enhanced versions of all of these origin traits as well that you can unlock by leveling up the weapon. Man, it's going to be nuts once people start getting their hands on some stuff.
Vice Stinger is pretty fun. Damaging an enemy with this weapon has a small chance to reload the magazine and increase movement speed while ADS. That's pretty fun. Honestly, kind of the only one that I was like really not sold on was Hake, and that totally turned me around on it. So I kind of like all of these origin traits. Like, they're all fun. Certain weapons roll with multiple origin traits, so you can select one or the other. Really, really happy to see this added to guns.
It's truly a fantastic addition to the game. Psycho Hack is one that I feel like is probably doing something, but the only thing, I guess the only complaint I have is that it's a little bit hard for me to tell when I'm in the mix if it's doing something for me or not. So that one, sustained damage from this weapon lowers the target's damage output for a short duration. I can see that actually being very useful in in-game PvE, but... right now, and you know, again, I haven't spent a lot of time trying to really get the hang of it because I'm focused mostly on just playing the Legendary campaign and really digging the story and kind of getting a feel for what they're doing. So it feels like it could be good, but I just don't know right now.
It's one of those things. It's like you're using it like against a champion or against, you know, a Hive Guardian. And you're like, I think that this is working,
but I hope it's working.
It's kind of hard to know. Yeah. And unless you get hit by something that normally would kill you and then it doesn't kill you. And then obviously, you know, but there's also a decent amount of new traits. I legitimately cannot believe the amount of perks that we got this season. There's a decent amount of new traits. And some of them are really, really cool. In fact, a lot of them are very, very cool. Adaptive munitions. The weapon adapts its damage output and effectiveness against energy shields that don't match the weapon type. Like, that's huge, right? Because match game is a super, super popular modifier on in-game PvE content. So the ability to get adaptive munitions on a weapon and effectively use it against multiple damage types is tremendously strong, right? Turning every weapon into hard light. Chill clip, which is an awesome name. Direct hits with the top half of the magazine cause a detonation that slows nearby targets. Super fun on grenade launchers and rocket launchers.
Yeah, another fun one that caught my eye that I'm definitely going to be looking for on certain weapons is Turnabout. Using this weapon to break the shield of a combatant or a guardian using their super will grant you an overshield. So again, it's a little bit niche, but people spend time in supers. There are supers dropping every match. In sixes, you're going to get at least six chances to use it, maybe more. Probably more. In PvE, I think probably super handy for combating majors. It certainly is a perk that I would love to see on a gun that is usable in the Legendary campaign, because I am popping shields left and right. I wish I could have it on my glaive, because I would for sure be using it.
One that I was actually, this is probably the only disappointment that I have so far, Focused Fury. I was like really excited to see that one in action. Dealing half of the magazine as precision damage grants this weapon bonus damage. The shot count is reset whenever the weapon is reloaded. So I know in my heart that that's like a DPS perk, but I was like really hopeful that I could do some crazy stuff with it in PvP. So I found myself a high impact scout rifle, I think the Perseus or whatever, with it. I got the magazine size down as small as I could get it, and I tried to. Dude, I cannot tell you how hard it is to hit six headshots with that gun without dying. And even then, the damage bonus is only for 10 seconds afterwards, or actually a little less than 10 seconds afterwards. And so I can tell you that in PvP, at least, I was not really stoked with that. I think it is very, very hard to activate, but I'm sure in PvE, it's going to be a very fun, very strong perk. It's basically going to proc when you're doing stuff that you're already doing, which is hitting the crit spot of bosses, you know, consistently with every shot in the magazine. So
they do have a perk in there as well that I think really speaks to a lot of us. That's Compulsive Reloader.
Compulsive Reloader is pretty funny. Stats for all to be paired with one for mm-hmm. all, right? So if you hit three targets, you get bonus damage and you get better handling, stability, reload, and range.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is pretty funny. I honestly, to be totally honest, like, don't you feel like those could be paired into like one perk? And like, because stability, you know, handling, stability, range, reload a little bit, like that isn't super useful in PvE.
I would say that would make it a pretty good perk. With the reload and the handling bonus, I think that would make it very, very handy. Not in PvP. Having to hit three separate targets to trigger a perk in PvP is just never going to be a good perk. It's too difficult to do consistently. But for PvE, I think that's super easy to activate.
Yeah, but the stats that it gives you in PvE are like, well, you know, I don't really need those. But, you know, it is what it is. But steady hands, kills provide improved handling for all weapons for a short duration. That one is actually really, really good in PvP.
That is
the ability to quick swap off of a gun like a shotgun or something once you've gotten a kill, or swap to a shotgun once you've gotten a kill. Very, very useful. Successful warm-up, we already talked about. I don't have a successful warm-up roll yet, so I haven't got to test out how it works on a fusion rifle, unfortunately. And then there's a couple of perks that are, I think, specific to the glaives. It's tilting and windmills, which blocking damage with your shield increases movement speed until you lower your shield, and unstoppable force, which is blocking damage with your shield increases projectile damage for a short time. How are you feeling about the new weapon type? I guess that's probably something that we should dive into as well. Are you sold on it? Have you found them to be a little weird, a little strong, a little underpowered?
I have basically used the shield not at all on my glaive, and I may be using them wrong as a result. I leaned fully into just maxing out the range on mine, and I am using it actually a lot in the Legendary campaign. So I've paired my glaive with Crimson. And so I'm using Crimson to clean up red bars and for survivability purposes, basically. So I can kill a whole bunch of red bars without dying when I get swarmed, or when there's a large swarm approaching, rather. The glaive, then, I turn to basically when I'm kiting around the map. And I have found it the ability to launch a hipfire energy projectile while I'm running and jumping has been phenomenally helpful. I wouldn't say almost never, 50% of the time when I'm firing the glaive, I am in motion. Basically just like running from cover to cover, picking off enemies as I move. And it has been incredibly, incredibly useful. Like I said earlier in the episode, my experience in PvP on PC was that it was not good. It is a two-shot kill, and it is not super hard to aim. But it doesn't fire super fast either, and there are a lot of good guns out there. And the inability to zoom in even if you want to, like the complete lack of aim down sights, makes it a bit confusing. I don't know how the shield could be the key in PvP. Maybe if you use the shield, you can get those two hit kills and you won't die. I don't know. I need to spend some more time with it in a less stressful environment. But yeah, that's been my experience so far. I have used the crap out of it.
Yeah, I didn't like it a ton at first. I didn't really understand how to use it. It was in a weird place for me where I was like, it almost feels like it should be a primary weapon, because I didn't feel like the ranged attacks were doing a ton of damage in PvE. But then I realized that the melee doesn't take any ammo.
Yeah.
And you can just like use the melee, and the melee actually does a ton of damage.
It does.
I found the blocking to be pretty useful, actually.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how it's going to work in PvP, because I think in PvP, it's the other way around, where like the melee isn't super, super strong. I think it's a three hit combo. I think you have to run through the full combo to kill someone in PvP.
With the melee. It might vary by, I'm pretty sure I two tapped people with the melee. But I was mashing the button, to be honest, because I was just charging at them. So I might have done a three hit, but I'm pretty sure I two tapped with the melee. We'll have to figure it out.
It very well may be. My thing is like, even if it is, you know, it's not a one hit. That much is certain, right? It's not a one hit.
It's not a shotgun, and it's in shotgun range.
Yeah.
And so the answer
that's kind of
use a shotgun.
Or the answer is figure out the block and see what the block does to a shotgun when you're blocking and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of depth to that weapon type that remains to be discovered.
There is.
I could say my very first impressions weren't super positive, but the more I've used it, the more I've liked it. And I think that that's a really good sign for the weapon class moving forward. I love that it's a first person melee weapon. I think that that's super, super cool. I like that it has a ranged attack. I think that's super neat, even though I don't understand how it's supposed to work. Fantasy-wise, I don't understand exactly what it is that I'm shooting out of it. But I mean, you know, who cares? Does it really matter? Probably not. So I'm enjoying it. I'm really looking forward to getting some of the ones that have special effects and special abilities.
Yeah.
I think they probably hit the fine line where it's like it's fun and unique enough to get people to play it, but it's not necessarily so incredibly strong that it's broken. At least not as far as I've seen people using it.
Not yet.
But we might get there.
I really, really want it to work in PvP. And so I'm definitely going to come back and spend more time on it, probably in a week or two, when PvP becomes a bigger priority for me again. But, the shield may be the key. Because I was in that PC sandbox and I had not intended to be, I wasn't in the right mindset to be playing that fast. I think I do need to spend some time in console PvP with it at a slightly reduced speed of play where I can try to get the hang of it. But if the blocking turns out to be good, then the ranged attack will actually end up to be really good, because being able to two-tap while preventing someone else from hitting their optimal time to kill, I mean, that's a great combo. And the thing has some pretty decent range. The travel time becomes the only real issue there. If someone else's movement is good, you're not going to hit them. So I don't know. I feel like we're diving deep into it. We need to spend more time on it. So I'll leave it at that.
Maybe that'll be for next week. Well, I mean, we've talked Void 3.0, we've talked weapon crafting, we've talked the new weapons themselves, the new traits, the new perks. I mean, the legendary story. I feel like we've covered a lot for having only really had the game in our hands for less than 3 full days. Is there anything else that you really, really wanted to talk about, or are you kind of just ready to get back to playing more Witch Queen?
Yeah, honestly, I kind of just want to play some more Witch Queen right now. So I don't think I have anything else.
Feel the same way. All right, well, I guess that is it for this week's episode. We will be coming back to you on Monday with a Beneath Twin Suns episode. We're going to be doing the overview of Season 1 of Book of Boba Fett, so you'll have that. I know we took a week off for that as well. We're going to try to record an episode Tuesday night to get it out Wednesday morning for Massive Breakdowns, and then we're going to be going on a two-week-long hiatus. I will be on my honeymoon, so it's going to be a little bit of time off for that. We do have PvE, Podcast Versus Enemies, to keep you guys company while we are gone. They're going to be helping you in the run up to the world's first raid race, and they'll be giving you all the tips and tricks that you need for hopefully a 24-hour completion for some of you guys. So definitely tune into them. And I think that's probably it. Oh, I have not gotten the spreadsheet updated yet. I will be totally honest. I've been incredibly busy actually playing the game. But I'm going to try to get these weapon stat spreadsheet updated tomorrow, or hopefully I will definitely get it done before I go on my honeymoon. How about that?
There we go. There we go. I think that's a reasonable promise to make. There's pretty fair bit to add with this expansion. So
I know, legitimately, like 42 new weapons and an entirely new weapon class.
Yeah, it's a sizable chunk that needs to be added. So, all right, stay tuned for that. And we will be back next week. That's all we have.
All right. See you next week. Bye.
Peace.